Welcome back to the Music That Made America. My name is Jacob, and what's your name?
Yo, guys, what's up? I'm Jordy. We're here with our newest member, Noah.
What it do, baby?
And guest star, Jordan. So, what's up?
What's up?
All right, hello. Let's just get into the episode. Today we're doing Elvis Presley, and he's very famous, as like pretty much a lot of people know him compared to like not as many people know about Chuck Berry or Buddy Holly. So it's gonna be an extra long episode, but just stay in here.
Extra long.
Extra long, yeah.
The good tuna sandwich.
Yes.
It's gonna be extra long, but stick in there. It's gonna be some really good facts, and you might learn a thing or two. So let's just begin.
Okay, I'll start off. He was born January 8th, 1935, in Mississippi. His parents' name were Vernon Presley and Gladys Presley.
Vernon has a great first name.
Yeah,
Vernon
Presley.
It might be Vernon. I don't know.
However you pronounce the name. His full name is Elvis Aaron Presley. And fun fact, he changed the spelling of his middle name to the biblical form of Aaron with two A's.
So it's spelled
Aaron?
No, that's not the biblical.
It is.
It is Aaron.
Oh, I didn't spell
it. Anyway, point is, Elvis Presley, he was born with an awesome name. And just because he wanted to be more even more awesome, he changed his middle name. So that's just the point of that.
Yeah, but he did grow up on a very humble setting. He had a very humble beginning. Growing up, his parents were part of the working class. They moved around frequently and were very loving towards Elvis, which is just greatly appreciated for him.
Yeah.
Good to have loving parents. We'll move
on. Like your parents, Philly.
Yes, my parents are very lovely.
Especially Mark.
You didn't say that with your straight face.
And now, so let's move on. Would you like to read, Jordan?
Sure, I would love to read. Elvis returned the love to his parents and deeply respected them, especially his mother. He was raised in a very religious family.
Interesting.
I didn't expect that from his songs.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a mama's boy.
Dude, get wrecked.
His sister's a mama's boy.
Yep. All right, anyway, he was, as you said, he was raised in a very religious family, and he was actually influenced by church music because he went to church every single Sunday. Something none of us can ever relate to.
Yeah. All right. I can see that, though.
So, he received his first guitar in 1946 when he was 11, given to him by his mom. He started showing success a few years after that when he started winning talent shows at Humes High School in Memphis.
Tennessee.
Yes, Memphis, Tennessee. Mm. You know, it's kind of crazy. Dude, knock it off. Anyway, so it is actually kind of interesting at such a young age, as with many of the artists that we've covered, not many, but Chuck Berry and Buddy Holly. They both started at a very young age, and they ended up being very successful from the start, and so was Elvis.
Would you say that 11 years old is a young age? Because he's like child prodigy starting at age 3.
Yeah, but we're talking about people like I guess in that.
But
like,
young. I mean, it's younger than any of us. So I mean, that's pretty impressive.
But you're still in your child years. Like I mean, like you're not gonna like, it's no Justin Bieber. You're not gonna take off like by then. But like to show success and to show that like to even win talent shows and stuff like that, like your first, like
that's nice.
We don't know if it's his first try, but it still proves very greatly.
All right, so he graduated in the year of 1953. While pursuing his musical dream, life was challenging for him, and he still had to work multiple jobs. Success isn't easy.
He made a demo record at Sun Studio that year, and Sam Phillips heard how good Elvis was and took him under his wing.
Who's Sam Phillips?
Sam Phillips was, I'm guessing the manager of the studio, or he was basically someone who was very, like,
influential at the time.
Was an American record producer who played an important role in the development of rock and roll.
Okay.
So, yeah, he was also a record producer.
Yes. So while Elvis began touring and recording, he was persisting to continue the path of his musical journey. And his first single was That's Right, which was released in 1954. And in 1955, he began gaining fans drawn to his unusual music style.
It's interesting because in the last episode with Buddy Holly, it was that one song that he wrote early on that really got him, started. And it's the same thing here. It seems like everyone back then just got to find one hit and there you go.
And you have a record deal. But, you know, Buddy Holly had multiple contracts. He was only going one contract at a time. That's very respectable.
That is true. That's true.
He's a very respectable man.
Anyways, that same year he signed with RCA Records. Never mind, you just lied. It worked by Colonel Tom Parker, who was his manager. I misspelled Colonel. I don't know how to spell Colonel.
It's like Colonel.
Colonel
Tom Parker.
Who
was his first number one hit single was Heartbreak Hotel, and that was also part of his number one album, which was his first time doing
The same name.
Yes, so it was part of his number one album. He then signed a music contract with Paramount Pictures in 1956, so still at a very young age, just killing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's only been 10 years since he's got his guitar, and he's already, now, first of all, he's, not only is he pursuing a musician career, he's also pursuing a acting career, which is kind of nuts.
Here, I'll give you guys like a quick second just to search up Heartbreak Hotel, just give him a moment to search it up.
Pretty good song.
Pretty good. We can't play it because of copyright reasons, but you guys can play it.
Yeah, keep it. All right,
we don't copyright. We don't copyright wrong.
All right, from here on out, just pause if we tell you to listen to a song.
Yeah.
Anyway, so going back, do you want to read, Jordan?
Sure. So it said that he also appeared in multiple TV shows as a popular guest. I'm sure that's what it's supposed to mean.
Yep.
Elvis was considered the biggest entertainer quickly, so I guess he rose to fame pretty quickly because it was only it's only been 3 years since he graduated.
Oh yeah.
And you know, his first single was only 2 years before he was signed as a record contract, and it was only a year later that he was drafted to the military too. So his first film was Love Me Tender, which was a box office hit, which is interesting because like Kobe was saying, now he's both an actor and a musician, which is crazy, but he's not even going in the military yet.
Yeah, and that, what I find remarkable about the fact that he was drafted into the U.S. military was the fact that he was offered a position to entertain soldiers, but instead, Elvis wanted people to know that he was a person. So he
wanted people to know he was a person.
Like, he wasn't just an idol.
He wasn't an alien.
He was an idol. Like, he wasn't like a god, kind of. He was
some normal guy.
He was someone who didn't want any special treatment.
Yeah,
so he joined the front lines. He served in Germany. But it's still crazy to think that he gained fame and popularity and still was drafted into the U.S. military. If today, I would think that if there even was a second or whatever draft, I would think that the famous people would be the last people to be considered onto the draft.
Yeah, I'm sure Justin Bieber would, not accept.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's also widely out of the draft. Now, but still.
If it was legal, I
since he's Canadian.
Oh,
yeah. Justin Timberlake.
Sure, yeah.
All right.
Except he's old as hell now.
Okay, damn it. I don't have any more jokes.
I'm sure JoJo Siwa, right?
JoJo Siwa. And that'd be interesting. All
right. So, shortly before he was supposed to leave Germany, he served in Germany for a year and a half. But shortly after he was supposed to leave Germany, his mother died, leaving him to leave the military early on special leave, and go to Memphis to go to his mother's funeral. After that, he returned back to Germany, and in Germany he met a young teenager named Priscilla Bolio. They fell in love. And in 1960, he was able to leave the army and pursue his musical career.
Pause.
Yes. Let's go. Let's just readjust that the fact that
old
he is
man
yes.
loves young teen. He's not old.
He's yeah. He's
like,
only
he's but, like 20 something young teen.
And but you know what? In the
90s, who?
He married
young teenager
Priscilla Bolio.
How young?
Young.
But how young?
Great question.
Well,
our sources say young, not a.
It didn't give us a specific.
Maybe back then they didn't know her exact age.
But
back then people didn't know. What time
no one knew their age.
No one knew
then.
Exactly
like,
the
no
age.
One,
that
no, sir, I'm not kidding.
In the 1960s, they said, you know, I'm 20-something.
No, but like, there were people like back in the day that like, did not know how old they were.
Well, some people.
Okay, but
not, right, not, maybe it's
people
1950s.
That not everyone was walking around thinking, oh,
yes,
how old am I?
Well, you're right, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got you.
But it, you
birth
know
certificates
what?
Weren't so official.
Because he chose to be in the front lines, he was able to meet a person and he was able to meet many persons and people and fell in love.
Puddings.
And puddings. And he was able to fall in love, and that was all due to the fact that he wanted to be treated as a normal human being.
Exactly. So in the 1960s, he was able to leave the army and pursue his musical career, treated as a hero at home for serving the military. Discounts, you know?
Yeah.
No.
Well,
thank you.
You know, basically, we'll just go on.
All right. Soon after, he was back on top of the charts when he wrote the soundtrack for the HIS films, G.I. Blues.
Okay. So, to go over this, I just think it's amazing after being in the army, and I can't imagine that he was singing in the army or
definitely
like
not.
As soon as he came back.
I don't think he was in war, just like on patrol.
Well, yes, it's not that.
I don't know
but,
if any war.
Yeah,
there was no war in Germany, but I think that was a part of Germany would be Cold War. I'm thinking, right? That's
no,
that's
too early.
Really? In 1960? I thought that's when it.
He was sent to the military.
57, and then left.
Not
in
military 60. Though. Or not in Germany though.
But it wasn't in East Berlin and.
Oh, you're right.
Well, that's just
maybe. I'm not sure. Good question.
Yes.
Okay.
Have to check on that.
But it is still crazy that after not using your, I would say not practicing your talents for that long. But who knows? He could have been practicing. But I'm saying that, like, he didn't spend majority of his time practicing. Like, he was able to while doing talent shows and stuff like that.
So far, Elvis is an actor, musician, and a director now. And a director. Wow, this man.
Because that was his own film.
He's a man of many talents.
Sorry. That was my phone ringing.
That's interesting.
Okay, so let's go on. Afterwards, he persisted on recording music and acting in films such as Blue Hawaii in 1961, Girls, Girls, Girls in 1962, and Viva La Vegas in
1964. That's
an
awesome name for
movies. Yeah, I love the Viva La Vegas.
No, so. I like Girls, Girls, Girls.
Girls, girls, girls. You like girls,
girls, girls. Cody loves girls, like, girls, girls, girls.
It's kind of like Russian.
Isn't
Russia,
that a...
Russia. Yeah, right, right. All right, all these films were met with all sorts of feedback, good and bad, which means, like, they weren't, like, especially amazing. He's an... Again, he's a person.
I'm sure
he is a person, not an alien.
He's not a human being.
All right. So anyway, but they did. Although they weren't like the best movies ever, some people thought they did bring in some money, and his soundtrack sold well also. And eventually, this is good news for him. He got married to Priscilla in Las Vegas on the 1st of May in 1967.
Hopefully she still wasn't a young teenager, maybe an old one, maybe not a teenager.
Maybe
she's probably
one.
In her 20s, early 20s, 20 to 22. I'd say.
Because also the definition of like young teenager back then could have been
what's
like what is
19
but like yeah, but like 11, well because back then like
from 13 to
19 oh, so she could have been 19
that's
not
that young.
That's
not
but,
young
but it could be saying that she looked young.
Okay, let's go.
Right.
I don't think so. All
right.
I would
all right, moving
so.
On. Sadly, things started to go downhill from there. In the late 60s, he started to lose his appeal in movies. Afterwards, he wanted to prove that he was still the king of rock and roll, so he recorded a TV show often referred to as the 68 Comeback, which did actually do well. People were impressed with the TV special due to it showing his amazing talents.
It's
cool.
Very good talents.
Very
great talents. Okay, another thing that happened to him was that he had a daughter with Priscilla named Lisa Marie Presley.
All right, so now let's just pause this. This is the high time of Elvis's life. He has
Are
money,
sure?
fame. He has
wife,
he has a daughter,
adorable.
A wife, a TV special. He's staying on top, and he wants to make sure he's staying on top.
But then that did not last.
Yes. It only goes because in the 1970s, his marriage was falling apart, and the couple ended up divorcing in 1973, losing custody of his child, too. Oh, my God, Elvis, you just lost your child.
Bro, you're so bad at, like, marriage.
Tell that to Elvis.
All right, anyway. On top of that, he was struggling with all other personal problems because he was having an addiction with prescription drugs, so that's not good. And he went from being thin to gaining a lot of weight. So clearly he had some health problems at that point, and eventually he actually got hospitalized that year. But still, he remained popular and was on Vegas and was on tour. But things are kind of not looking really too good in this man's life at that point.
Yeah, you know, but, like, what leads me to actually think is that, if you know, usually when you see people who get addicted to drugs, they usually go from being thick to thin. So the reverse is kind of odd, no? I mean, like, am I wrong, though? Like, it's kind of weird to think about it.
They lose maybe a lot of weight.
They lose a lot of weight.
And smoked, like, he was like, eat.
But eat, prescription you know? Drugs, like, that's not really cigarettes. I mean, he's probably talking more like
Advil.
Yes, because they had Advil back then in the 60s.
Maybe instead of the drugs making him lose weight, maybe his like his way of life was just deteriorating. So like all aspects, his diet and his he had an addiction on top of maybe just unhealthy
life. All right, we're not Weight Watchers. We're the music that made America. So let's keep on going.
Okay, but
we could be Weight Watchers though.
I could be the coach.
All right. Now, despite all this, he still remained popular in Vegas and on tour.
And you want to go, Jordan?
I'll read.
Where am I reading? So in June of 1977, he performed his last concert in Indianapolis.
Unknowingly.
Uh-oh.
Thank you for that.
Spoiler alert. Once he finished, he returned home to his mansion in Graceland preparing for another tour.
And then all of a sudden.
In the morning of August 16th, 1977, he died of heart failure at the young age of 42.
Crazy that one of the greatest musicians to ever be a musician, man, just dies that young.
It's one of the greatest musicians to be a musician.
That's what he was.
Just right, stopped being a musician.
But in all jokes aside, it is actually very, like, and I'm not saying strange because, I mean, he died because of abuse to prescription drugs. He died from addiction to prescription drugs. It is abuse.
Yeah, it is abuse. Yes.
And when you abuse drugs, you die from drugs. Yeah. Simple mathematics, bro.
Anyway. Simple mathematics. That's just it.
That's it.
All right. Anyway, so he did abuse drugs, but it's crazy that at the age of 42, which is very young, and especially at that time because people were living to like at least 70, 60. He did overdose, but at the same point.
Well, you're saying that people have longer lifespans.
No, yes. He didn't.
No, but he was
42 was not the average. No.
Yes,
obviously.
42 is not the average, and also he was like he died of heart failure. But my question would be honestly to that. Is that did he die of heart failure at the scene, or was he like in the hospital?
He was sleeping.
Or like did he
probably,
was sleeping?
Yeah, he probably died.
They probably found him.
Yeah, so they found him when they found him.
His probably his heart's probably went bad because he was
in
so
the morning
far gone on the.
That's terrible. Can you imagine returning like to your home and the day after, or maybe it wasn't the day after, but basically like the one of the days before the tour, you basically died. Like that's nuts.
Yeah, we know his death was due to prescription drug use, obviously. He was buried next to his mother, father, and grandmother.
Standard procedure.
His career.
Odd comment. As Kobe knows, as a grave digger, this is just standard.
All right, in his career, Elvis helped popularize the new rock and roll music in America. He had 18 number one singles, including Don't Be Cruel, Good Luck Charm, and Suspicious Minds, and many gold and platinum albums, a very great reward.
He was one of the first performers inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1986. Elvis will always be remembered as the king of rock and roll, and his legacy will never die. and he will remain as one of the world's most popular music icons and carrying that torch throughout other legends, inspiring people such as John Lennon himself.
He was an inspiration to John Lennon?
Yes,
yeah.
Imagine that. That is another good song you guys should look up.
So we have Elvis inspiring John Lennon. We have Buddy Holly, Chuck Berry or Buddy Holly?
No, it was Buddy Holly who inspired Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney.
Which is very interesting because we're kind of learning where the Beatles, like a lot of the Beatles got their inspiration from. And it was really the pioneers of rock who assisted them in making this beautiful music.
You said Buddy Holly inspired Paul McCartney?
Yes. It was either Buddy Holly or Chuck Berry.
No, right?
I'll tell you right now. It was Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly?
Yes.
It's interesting. So, like, American artists inspiring the Beatles who were British, but, I mean, they were obviously popular here.
Just goes to show you that music is a worldwide art form. Wow.
That is true. International.
It's not just in America, but this is the music that made America.
But honestly, like, the music that made America is also the music that made the world.
Yeah.
Yes. America. So basically, the music that made America is a sub-podcast for the music that made it a world.
Isn't America just
the music that made a world?
The music that made Earth.
Essentially, that's where we're at. So, you know, it was a great podcast.
But that doesn't sound as good.
All right. Thank you for being on, Jordan. Thank you for being on, Jordy. Thank you for being on, Noah.
Thank you for being on, Jacoby.
Thank you, everyone. And please remember to follow us on Spotify and Anchor and Instagram as well. Thank you for watching. Goodbye.
All right, bye.